tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Good day, everyone. Hopefully, everybody had a great week last week. You know, me, I had to work. You know, work trying to make that money to take care of the family, right? But anyway, the name of this podcast today is entitled "From Dixiecrats to Trump: How Conservatism Traveled Through America's Parties." So let's get into it. So sometimes when I go online and I see black people talking about how the Democratic Party was the party of the KKK, which is true. They're not saying everything. They aren't discussing when and how the party changed and why the Dixiecrats and Strom Thurmond mattered. So let's discuss. Okay, we're both going on a wild ride, people. So let's do a little less history lesson for y'all, okay? So let's talk about the Democratic Party, right? So Andrew Jackson, right, the Jacksonian beginning. The Democrats were formed back in 1828 around Andrew Jackson and the common man. Early Democrats favored limited federal power and territorial expansion, right? So think about this, right? Early Democrats favored limited government, limited federal power. Think about that. What the Republican Party used to be, right, at one point. You know what I mean? Before the MAGA movement came in. Right? The Republican Party favored limited federal power. Right? And we're gonna get into that a little bit later. So now, the antebellum South, the party became the political home of Southern slaveholding interest. The alignment locked Democrats to white supremacy before the Civil War. Civil War stance. Democrats divided between war and peace factions. The party opposed many Republican war aims and emancipation policies, right? So at the time, Democrats wanted to keep the slave going, but the Republican Party didn't want that crap, right? So now, Reconstruction resistance. After the war, Democrats resisted federal civil rights enforcement. Redeemer, Democrats helped restore white rule in the South. Now here comes the Jim Crow. Jim Crow order. Southern Democrats built segregation into law for decades. That system defined the region's politics and Democrats' dominance. In the early 1900s, progressive Northern Democrats flirted with reform under Wilson, yet the party still tolerated Southern segregationists. Now, here comes the New Deal, right? The New Deal coalition, FDR, united South conservatism with Northern liberals and labor. Social programs expanded, but civil rights lagged. Cracks in the coalition, right? Now, Truman desegregated the military in 1948, angering the South. That move exposed the party's internal contradiction on race. Now, the civil rights era, right? Under Kennedy and Johnson, Democrats championed civil rights and voting rights acts. Southern segregationists began to bolt. The Great Society shift, anti-poverty and civil rights policies redefined the party's identity. White Southern loyalty steadily eroded, right? So the post-1968 realignment, the Democrats evolved into a liberal coalition of minorities. Unions, sitters, and educated voters, the South moved away. Modern Democrats, right, of today's time, the party brand itself and pro-civil rights, inclusion, and our social safety nets, their identity is the product of a long, painful break with its past. Now let's talk about the Republican Party. We're going to get to how they switch in a minute. Excuse me. In the wrong pipe. So the Republican Party, the origins and the transformation. So, anti-slavery founded Republicans were born in 1854 to stop slavery's expansion. Lincoln's 1860 victory defined the party's moral origin story. The Union and the Emancipation. The GOP led the Union war effort and abolition with Reconstruction Amendments carried the Republican stamp. The Reconstruction Party, Republicans backed black citizenship and voting rights. That stance made the party hated in the Jim Crow South. The guarded age priorities, right? The GOP leaned pro-business, tariffs, and industrial growth. Economic modernization became its brand. The Progressive Republicans, Theodore Roosevelt, fused reform with nationalism, yet party elites later steered back toward business orthodoxy. The New Deal opposition. Republicans resisted FDR's federal expansion, but lost for a generation. Modern Republicanism later softened the edge. Eisenhower moderation. Ike accepted part of the New Deal and built infrastructure. The party still wasn't yet the Southern home. The Goldwater Rebellion. In 1964, conservatives seized the GOP soul. Limited governments and states' rights became their rallying cry. Nixon's strategy. Law and order and Southern outreach flipped white Dixie voters. Party geography began to invert. Reagan Revolution supplied sound economics, anti-communism, and value politics mainstream conservatism. Reagan remade the GOP identity. First with Barry Goldwater, and then Reagan came and remake it. Now Donald Trump. Later century, GOP deregulation, tough on crime, and social conservatism set the tone. The South became a Republican stronghold. Modern Republicans, the party houses populist nationalism and free market rhetoric. It is the principal vehicle for American conservatism. Now let's talk about the Democrat, right, and why they broke away. So, Truman's trigger. Truman backed civil rights, right, and desegregated the military. Southern Democrats were voted. So think about it, right? Back then, a lot of Democrats didn't like how this man, right, president, the Democratic president, desegregated the military. They didn't like that, right? So slowly but surely, they started backing away and they started voting. So in 1948 break, right, the states' rights Democratic Party, the Dixiecrats, bolted from the Democrats. Their platform defended segregation and states' rights. Strom Thurmond's run. Thurmond led the ticket and won deep South states. Symbolically, the split was schismatic. So core message, right? They opposed federal civil rights enforcement. Local control was their shield for maintaining segregation. Electoral impact. Truman still won, but the South loyalty cracked. National Democrats took note of the coming realignment. The enduring influence, Dixiecrat ideas survived beyond the label. They flowed into a different party over time. The Brown backlash. Resistance to desegregation hardened in the 1950s. Massive resistance kept Dixiecrat energy alive. So the civil rights, right, and climax. So in the 1960s, laws forced a choice, civil rights or segregation. Many segregationists resorted politically. The slow switch. Voters and politicians didn't change overnight. County by county, the South shifted right. Business alliance, Southern elite married racial politics with low tax economics. That fusion primed the GOP takeover. Religion, right later. Social conservatism amplified the migration. Cultural issues glued the coalition together. Legacy. The Dixiecrats were the bridge from old South Democrats to the modern GOP South. They started the long party flip. Now, like what people say, right? Yeah, the Democratic Party was the party of the KKK back in the 1800s, right? 1828 or 1867 when the KKK was formed after slavery ended, right? They were part of the KKK. We got all that. But these same Democrats, right? What they did when the civil rights was starting to form in the 1930s, right? When he had the nerve, right? Let me make sure I'm right. Yeah. When Truman he had the nerve to desegregate the military. You know what I mean? A lot of Democrats didn't like what he was doing. But Truman knew what he was doing. See what I'm saying? Because they know, right? White people alone could never win all the wars. Not here in America. No. Right? That's why we have to have a military with diverse people. Because one group of people alone can't without win the damn wars, right? So he knew what he was doing. So the Democratic Party back then didn't like that. So what they did, like, you know what though? I'm tired of this Democratic crap. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Republican. You know what I'm saying? Go to Republican and switch to the Republican Party. So I'm saying that to say this, right? The same Democrats who were the part of the KKK, all thing they did was a flip. They flipped to the Republican Party, right? So they're the same people any damn way. See what I'm saying? The same Republicans, right? But if you think about it, their family lineage, right, were Democrats. The same Republicans today. Now, most of the time, I'm talking about white Republicans, right, that were born here in America and their family member was born here in the United States, right? The same family member of Republicans, our Republicans today, their ancestors were Democrats. So they're a flip, okay? So when people say, oh, the Democratic Party is the part of the KKK, you might say it's the Republican Party because all they did was switch. That's all they did. Okay, so Barry Goldwater. Blueprint of modern conservatism, man. See, Barry Goldwater, right? You know what I'm saying? This man took the damn GOP into his own image. He really did. So I'm saying? He was a Sunbelt conservative guy. So Goldwater's Arizona roots shaped a rugged individualism. The West gave conservatism a new accent. So let me tell you this, right? When, you know, with Donald Trump, one point when he was the president the first time, he used to say, I've done more for black people than any other president. No, Barry Goldwater never became president, but he was a senator, right? And he had his own company, own business, and he hired a lot of black people. And Barry Goldwater said the same thing that Donald Trump said. You know what I'm saying? That I've done more for black people than anybody else. See what I'm saying? That's what Barry Goldwater said. And that's what Donald Trump said. So, the conscience of a conservative. His book distilled small government creed. It became movement scripture, right? Now, let me say this again. his book distilled small government creed. It became movement scripture. In 1964, nomination, right? He beat the GOP establishment to lead the ticket. The party's center of gravity shift and shifted right. The Civil Rights Act vote, he opposed it on federalism grounds. That vote opened the South to Republicans. The electoral map he lost in a landslide but won deep South states. The pattern foreshadowed the future, right? So the movement infrastructure, his campaign, birth, donors, groups, and media conservatism got organized. So when he ran for president, right, he lost. I mean, because, yeah, he might have won a lot of South, but a lot of people from the North ain't having that crap. You know what I mean? And by this time, anyway, a lot of Black people started to move toward the Democratic Party. Anyway, right? Because a lot of Black folks were like, you know what I'm saying? We really took a Democratic president, right, to really give us relief in the 1930s, right, after the Great Depression. Although this Democratic president, though, wasn't really thinking about Black people. He was doing it for his folks, right? And when he, when the Social Security Act enacted in 1935, you know what I mean? That gave a lot of Black people, started giving like a lot of Black people jobs and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So they could take care of their family. And believe it or not, Black people appreciated that stuff. But a lot, even back then, I bet you a lot of them even knew the deal anyway, but they still appreciated that, right? And you know, and one thing about Black folks, man, if we treat Black people good, one thing about them, they will be very loyal to you, right? If you treat them with respect and treat them good, man. That's the thing about Black folks. That's how we are. That's in our DNA, right? We're not about none of that revenge crap. We're not none of that crap. That, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the average, hardworking Black Americans, right? We're not about none of that crap. We just want to be left alone. Let's take care of our family. Let's work hard and take care of our family. That's it, right? So, the libertarian streak. He distrusted big government in all forms. That tension later met the religious right. Foreign policy hawk, anti-communism, toughened his image. Strength abroad paired with freedom at home. Reagan's path. Goldwater's paved Reagan's road, right? Think about it. Goldwater paved Reagan's road. In 1964, failure became a 1980 success. Think about it, right? 1964 presidency run was a failure for Goldwater, but it was a success for Ronald Reagan. States' rights frame. The message resonated in the South. It's translated segregationist energy into federalism talk. And the later nuance, he grew more socially moderate in retirement. The movement kept the economic core. Enduring blueprint, Goldwater reset the GOP's ideological compass. Conservatism became the party's North Star. So, in 1828, right, the Democratic Party will form under Andrew Jackson. Over 100 years later, the same Democratic Party decided to turn Republicans for the most part. And then, maybe like 30, 40, 30 some years later, the one man transformed the GOP into his image. So let's talk about Richard Nixon now. The engineering, the Southern strategy. So in 1968, the coalition, Nixon courted suburbanites and Southern whites. Law and order did the work. I am the law and order person, right? He courted appeals. He spoke safety, busing and chaos without saying race. Voters heard the message, right? So he said black, he said block, B-L-O-C. Silent majority. He framed his base as overlooked patriots. That identity politics stuck. Desegregation complexity. His administration advanced from school desegregation pragmatically. The strategy and policy often diverged, right? So in 1972, right, with a landslide, he swept the map by stitching resentment and stability. Geography confirmed realignment. War on drugs, the frame war on drugs. So the crime policy merged with racial politics. The narrative hardened party lines. Northern ethnics, white working class voters shifted right. Cultural issues outweighed the New Deal loyalties, all right, and the wedge of politics. He split Democrats on race, culture, and order. The splits became structural. The party machinery. The GOP learned to target counties and media markets. Precision beat loyalty. The Watergate shadow scandals ended a presidency, not a strategy, right? The blueprint survived. So, like I said, the Watergate shadowed. The scandal ended a presidency, but not the strategy. The blueprint still went on. Judiciary focus. Law and order judges cemented the theme. Think about that, right? Look at what we have in the Supreme Court today. The courts became a conservative priority, the lasting template. Nixon refined how the GOP wins culturally. That template fed Reagan and beyond. Now, let's talk about Reagan now. The conservatism made mainstream. The 1980 message. The government is the problem, resonated with inflation, weary voters, optimism wrapped artistry, supply side cuts, tax reductions, promised growth, deregulation match the mood. Neshoba signal, a states' rights speech near Philadelphia, Mississippi, Philadelphia, Mississippi, stirred controversy. Location amplifies subtext. The moral majority, evangelicals enter politics in force. Social conservatism fused with economics. Tough on crime, the rhetoric and policy stifling penalties. Culture and safety links. The Cold War resolved defense bill project strength. The patriotism made conservative feel heroic. The PATCO break, firing, striking, controllers sent a message. Unions lost clout and markets gained it. The immigration paradox. In 1986, the 1986 reform legalized men while promising enforcement. The Reaganism had pragmatic edges. The media mastery. The great communicator. Normalized conservative frames. Storytelling carried the ideology. The blue collar flip. Reagan Democrats crossed over and valued. Class politics met culture. The canonization. Reagan became the GOP patron saint. His brand set litmus tests. The long shadow. Every Republican run in light or against it. He made conservatism the party default. So, Ronald Reagan, right? After Barry Goldwater, right? Then next is Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan actually basically turned the GOP into his image as well. You know what I mean? Because even back then, people loved Ronald Reagan back then. You know what I mean? Ronald Reagan could do no wrong according to those type of people. You know what I mean? They love Reagan. Now, let's talk about the Tea Party, the populism reignited. The 2009 spark. So, the bailouts and Obamacare fueled outrage. The populist energy found a home. Damn. Grassroots plus donors, right? So, local groups met national funding streams. Organization multiplied impact. The town hall theater, media amplified confrontation. Television made the movement feel bigger, right? So the 2010 wave, the Tea Party candidates flipped seats nationwide. The GOP moved right in Congress. The purity primaries, the incumbent faced ideological tests. Compromise became a dirty word. The death killing drama. Austerity battles defined the era. Governing became hostage to heartlines. The nativist current, immigration anger mixed into the stew. Identity politics surge. Man, identity politics, man, even now. The birth of fringe. Conspiracy rhetoric bled into the mainstream. It softened the groan for Donald Trump, right? Can y'all remember? Donald Trump was screaming, oh, we need to see Obama's birth certificate. And I gotta be honest with you right now. If I was Obama, I would never have shown a damn birth certificate, man. I don't know why he did that crap. To me, that's kind of weak. You know he was born in America. You know what I'm saying? I would never show that shit. I mean, all the crap. Man. So leadership clash. The Boehner versus hardliners previewed later GOP divides. The speaker's gavel got heavier. Social media weapon. Facebook and YouTube supercharged mobilization. Virality replaced precincts. The anti-establishment badge, wearing outsider status, became a credential. Governing experience turned suspect. Now the legacy line, the Tea Party trained a base that Trump would inherit. The populism became party grammar. I'm telling you, right? Even back in 2008, when Obama was president, right? Especially he being a black man and the first black president. He faced a hard time. And I mean, even the dagger Mitch McConnell says that in an interview that he's going to do his best to block everything that Obama put out. You know what I mean? Instead of trying to work with the man just because you're all on opposite party, right? Instead of y'all work together, you want to make the other party look bad. And I don't know how dumb some of these Congress people are. Y'all so stupid, right? Right? You don't realize it, right? Right? When, in some cases, right? When you're making other people look bad, you're making yourself look bad because no matter what, you're part of the government. That's what I feel, right? When these people try to stop what somebody president is doing, right? And think about some of the stuff. It basically could benefit the American people, right? Even with what Donald Trump is doing right now. You know what I mean? And I'm not a fan of Trump. But I got to be honest with you right now. When he sent in the Dagger National Guard into some of these cities, I know I've lived in a damn bad city before. You see what I'm saying? I've lived in bad cities before where I hear damn gunshots, right? I don't blame that shit. You see what I'm saying? People could talk trash, Donald Trump is a felon, I get it. Right? But to be honest with you, if I live in a city, I would welcome the damn National Guard in my city. I want to try to stop that. I would welcome them. Trust me, I know me. Even if I'm walking on the street and I see these National Guard would do whatever, I'd be like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Have a conversation with them. I'm serious, though, man. Right? So some fights, to me, you just shouldn't fight. That's how I feel. Some fights, you just should not fight, right? See what I'm saying? Because of the opposition. That's how I feel, man. You know what I mean? And not just all. That's what I'm saying. Right? And they don't realize, right? Some of these people in government don't realize. When you try to make other people look bad, you make yourself look bad, too. Because you still work for the same damn government. You know what I mean? I don't give a damn if you represent one damn district. You're still part of the same system. That's how I feel. Part of the same daggone system. So I don't know why these government people can't work together to make things better for the American people. So Donald Trump, populist, nationalism, ascendant. So in 2016 insurgency, Trump beat the GOP establishment by attacking it. He made grievance a platform. America's first, right? according to Trump. Trade, borders, and sovereignty define his pitch. National interests trump alliances. The immigration hardline, travel ban, and war rhetoric galvanized supporters. It cemented identity politics. The tariff wars. He used tariffs as leverage on China and others. Economic nationalism replaced free trade orthodoxy. The law and order redux. Protest politics meant crackdown messaging. Nixon's chords played in a new key. Judicial focus. Court appointment thrilled conservatism. The bench became a signature legacy. The media as a foe. He made press battles a daily spectacle. Base loyalty deepened through conflict. The coalition shape. Rural white and non-college voters anchored his strength. Some working class minorities shifted right. And I'm going to say this real quick, right? In the last election, 2024 election, about 2% of black people, right, who voted for Biden in 2020, 2% of those people went over and voted for Donald Trump, right? So I'm saying that to say this. If the Democratic Party don't get their act together, they're going to lose in the midterms, point blank, right? They could wait until and see if Donald Trump crash and burn. They already know his damn base is not going nowhere. No matter what he does, they're going to ride for this man. I don't know why, but they're going to ride for this man. So the damn Democratic Party need to come up with some kind of message. I'm telling you now, if they lose the damn midterm, I'm going to vote Democrat in the midterm, but if they lose the damn midterms, I got to be honest with you. I don't know if I can vote for a Democrat in the 2020 presidential election, man. I'm serious. Because to me, they don't know what the hell they're doing if they lose the damn midterm. I'm talking about the House and the Senate. That's what I feel right now. So they better get aligned. So the party we made, the GOP aligned around Trump style and priorities. The dissent became risky. The internal schisms, establishments versus MAGA, rivalry hardened. Primaries enforced discipline. January 6th aftermath. Democracy concerns enter the conversation. The party still wrestles with the fallout. Trumpism, right? Now, populist conservatism defines the GOP center. Its future rise is movement, not just the man. You understand me? Trump got a straight cult following. And if the GOP loses the midterm, I'm telling you, it's probably going to be hard for a lot of us to vote Democrat in 2028 presidential election. Seriously. I mean, I feel though that the Democrats don't know what the hell they're doing as a whole. That's how I'm going to feel if they lose. You know what I mean? Because what's going on right now? You know what I mean? It should be a cakewalk controlling the House and the Senate in 2026. Trust me. But we'll see, though. We will see. So the core ideas, right? Tradition, markets, and limited government anchor the creed. Skepticism of rapid change runs deep. Fusionism. Anti-communist, libertarians, and traditionalists merged mid-century. That coalition powered Reagan. Federalism. Let states decide became a reflex. It often masks racial battles over control. Right? The market first. Tax cuts and deregulations single our virtue. The government solutions are suspected by default. The social conservatism. Faith, communities shape moral politics. Family, gender, and sexuality issues drive passion, right? Sexuality is about conservatism. You know what I mean? The law and order, right? Order is cast as freedoms, precondition, the policing and punishment become identity markers, nationalism, borders, border control, borders, culture, and sovereignty knit the narrative. Globalism is recast as elite betrayal. Populist edge. Elites are the foil, the people, the hero. The frame travels well in crisis. The idea in plus institutions. Think tanks, talk radio, and Fox built an ecosystem. Message, discipline made it durable. The race as structure, right, in America. Conservatism often intersected with racial hierarchy that history shaped voter coalition. The adaptation from Goldwater to Trump, the course stayed, but the tone shifted. Think about it, right? The core stayed, but the tone shifted. Populism added volume. Today's version, the movement is more nationalist and combative, yet it still claims the old small government mantle. All right, so pace and realignment, right? How rights reshape parties. Civil Rights Act of 1964 and 65 laws forced a partisan reckoning. The moral map changed the political map. Voting Rights Act. Black political power grew especially in cities. Parties recalculated their strategies. White flight, suburbs, school integration, and crime debate moved voters to suburbs became swing battlegrounds. Southern shift, county by county, Republicanism took root. It was a decade-long migration, not a flip of a switch. The black voters, right? So black voters, home. After 1964, black voters consolidated with Democrats. The GOP lost its Reconstruction legacy base. So, took about 100 years, right? After Lincoln. Right? Because remember, after Lincoln freed the slaves, a lot of our black people became Republicans because out of loyalty to Abraham Lincoln. You know what I mean? But 100 years later, the black people switch. Most black people anyway, just like the white folks switch to the Republican Party, right? Who was Democratic Party. All right? So Latino and Asian patterns, right? Coalitions are competitive and evolving. Issues and geography, not just identity, decide outcomes. The Northern ethnic, white working class voters drifted right in culture. The economic ties to Democrats weaken. So here's this again. The economic ties to Democrats weaken, right? So Northern ethnic, right? The white working class voters drifted right. So black people started drifting left and white people started drifting right. You know what I mean? And let me say this real quick as well. Imagine though, right? If, and I'm talking about just the poor folks right now. Imagine if we all could just be on the same damn page. I don't give a damn if it's right or left, but if we all be on the same page, right? The poor white people, the black people that's poor, you know what I mean? Imagine the thing we could get accomplished in this country. Trust me, if poor people stick together, I don't give a damn race. I don't give a damn Republican. We can make the Republican Party or the Democratic Party do what we want. If we stick together. I mean, that's why the politicians get to do whatever they want to do because we don't keep them accountable, man. We really don't. And that's sad to say. So, crime and punishment, right? Toughen crime, realign many voters. Policies and symbolism marched together. Courts and rights. The judiciary became a partisan pride. Culture battles ran through the bench. Education lines. College-educated suburbs trended left in the 2010s. Non-college whites trended right. Media narrative. Cable and social platforms hardened identity. Information bubbles became political bunkers. Resulting map. Urban metro versus rural small town now defined the split. Race and place Interact Every Education. Now, the party switch, the myth and mechanics. So not overnight. The switch took about 30 to 50 years. Leaders, voters, and regions moved at a different speed, at different speeds. Elite first. Politicians like Thurman crossed, early voters followed in phases. Regional mosaic. Appalachia, Deep South, and suburbs flipped differently. Local economies shaped timeline. Policy crossing. Some New Deal economics stayed popular. The big break was over race and culture. Not everyone switched. Many Southern Democrats stayed for a while. County courthouses told the slow story. Religions and Roe, right? Post-Roe, abortion mobilized the right, faith communities locked in. Economic layer. Deindustrialization pushed some union voters right. Culture finished the job. Klan myth fixed, right? Yes, the old Democratic South harbored the KKK. Today's Klan fringe doesn't define either major party. The urban-rural divide. Cities lean blue, rural lean red. That cleavage now outranks region. Sun Belt rise. The South and Southwest grew and turned red. The migration and industry mattered. Party of Lincoln. History is pride and burden for the GOP. Policies, not labels, tell today's story. Bottom line, the switch was about civil rights, identity, and power. The economics rolled shotgun. Culture wars and media megaphone. Let's talk about this culture wars, right? School and history fight over curricular tap identity fears. Classroom debates became campaign ads, right? The LGBTQ rights, marriage equality shifts norms. Trans issues fuel new battles. Social change meets backlash. Guns and identity. The Second Amendment is a lifestyle and a tribe. Policy is proxy for belonging. Now, the cult, right? Now, abortion after Dobbs, right? States diverge sharply in law. Mobilization surge on both sides. Immigration and belonging. Borders define who we are. Economic and culture get braided together. The pandemic politics, mandates and mass hard mistrust. Expertise became partisan. Media ecosystem, Fox, talk radio, and influencers shapes frame. Alternatives, facts became parallel reality. Conspiracy currents, fringe ideas can set agendas. The algorithms reward outrage. Campus speech. Free speech fights energize donors and base. East side claimed the First Amendment. The corporate speech. Go woke or go broke meets brand activism. Boardrooms became political theaters. The faith and power. Churches mobilized voters and narratives, right? The theology meets turnout. Election disputed, integrity versus suppression, frames, trench warfare, trust is the scariest resource, right? Trust is the scariest resource, man. So what this lean has left us now and next? The GOP today, a populist nationalist party anchored in rural and non-college voters, right? Conservatism speaks louder and rougher. It's true though, man. Seems like conservatism is more popular than non-conservatism thing. The Democrats today, a diverse urban metro coalition with progressive policy aims. Moderates and progressive still wrestle. GOP fractures, the establishment, religion, conservatives, and MAGA aren't identical. The primaries referee the family's fight. Dems fractures, right? So the Labor, progressives, and centrists differ on pace and method. Coalition must be managed, not assumed. The courts and policy. A conservative judiciary reshapes rights and rules. States become laboratories of ideology. Federalism's front lines. Abortions, guns, and education vary by state. The map is the message. The working class cross currents. More multiracial working class voters are in play. Culture often beats class. Trade and China nationalism outlive Trump on tariffs and supply chains. Economic security is bipartisan talk. Foreign policy splits. Isolationist and hawkish wings battle on the right. The left debates restraint versus human rights. The media future short right? Short form video drive narrative, velocity, attention, not accuracy rules. Demography, and generations, right? Young voters lean left are persuadable. Turnout and issues still decide. Finding common ground start with shared interest. Safety, dignity, opportunity, facts, plus empathy, be slogan. Just like I said earlier, right? Imagine if all poor people start thinking together, man. I'm saying we all got shared interests. Trust me. Right? Let's do a little bit of call to action now. No, call to action, right? Stand together. No matter your political party, remember, we are all Americans first. Unity gives us power. The one thing I wish we could realize that as a people, man, unity together gives us power. To hold leaders accountable, right? Demand that government officials truly serve the people, not special interest groups, man, interests. Respect differences. Yeah, I might disagree with you, right? Disagreement doesn't mean division. Listen with curiosity, not hostility. Find common needs, right? Safe communities, fair wages, good schools, and healthcare are things we all value. I don't give a damn where you come from. We value all of those great things, right? Reject division tactics. Don't let politicians or media pit us against each other. It weakens us, right? Just like what happened with Charlie Kirk, made a man rest in peace. But the damn politicians, man, sorry-ass politicians, and the sorry-ass some of these newscasters, man, the first thing that they say is somebody on the left that did it without proof. You know what I'm saying? Trying to divide people. Damn shame, man. And you're supposed to be leaders of this great country. And they're acting like kids. Crazy to me. Right? So value fact grown or debate in truth and evidence, even when it challenges our side. Strength in numbers. When average Americans come together, government must listen. Build local bridges. Start unity in your neighborhood. Your neighborhood, right? Start unity in your neighborhood. Block by block. Community by community. Work across lines. Reach out to people on the other side of the tracks. Our struggles are often the same. Empower the next generation. Teach young people civic responsibility and cooperation beyond party labels. Focus on solutions. Don't debate problems. Push for practical answers that improve lives, right? Keep hope alive. Change doesn't come from the top. It comes when everyday people refuse to be divided, man. I'm telling you right now. When everyday people refuse to be divided, right? I'm telling you. Do you know the power in that, what we can actually do if we really come together and stick together as a group, as a people? It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Asian, whatever. Whatever race you are, man. I'm telling you, man. how we can really stick together. And I guarantee we can make sure the government work our way. But we cannot do it alone. Black people can't do it alone. And let's be honest with you right now. When it comes to our democracy, you know who saved our democracy a lot, and people don't realize that, is black women. And black women, you know what I'm saying, I give you credit. Because I'm telling you, look at all like the Women's March and all the great stuff, right, that came into the forefront, right, over the decades within the past century. You understand me? You know what I'm saying? So I know right now, if we all just come together and stick together as one, we could come together as one unit, right? And the government must listen because they work for us. We pay taxes. We pay taxes in this country. You understand that? And they must listen to us, man, when we have a grievance. Okay? So with that being said, thank you for tuning into Common Ground. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.